Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
We want the carnage. We want the violence.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
It's like driving by the scene of an accident. You don't want anybody to be hurt badly, but you kind of want to see it if they are. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but at the same time, there's a little entertainment value there.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
When there's a big earthquake, it's not that you want a high body count.
Whoa, what?
When there's a Category 5 hurricane, it's not that you don't want it to reduce to a Category 3, but you kind of wonder what kind of damage it'll do.
What is wrong with you?
I'm 1340 WKGN.
It's a little sick, I admit.
That's disgusting.
This is in our bloodline. This is in our DNA. Going back to the gladiator days. You don't want to see a fellow human mauled by a lion, but you kind of do.
I think you're a deeply disturbed person. Hour two, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
I certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500 yesterday.
I've heard of him.
It was his second Daytona 500 victory. The race was, I'll be honest, the end of the race was kind of tough to watch. It took about an hour to get through the last, 12 laps. It was just caution after caution after caution. Eventually, after it went to NASCAR overtime, which is what they're now calling the old green-white checkered finish, Denny Hamlin came away victorious. Kyle Busch finished second. Eric Jones was third. You know what's significant about that? All three of those drivers, Joe Gibbs Toyotas, Joe Gibbs' son, J.D. Gibbs, died recently. Last month. And so that was a special race for Joe Gibbs as an owner. It was a special race for his drivers. They finished 1, 2, 3. And Denny Hamlin dedicated the race to Joe Gibbs' son, JD. Big win for Denny Hamlin. Any other positions of note you'd like to know where certain drivers finished?
I saw where Fox Sports Knoxville's guy, Bubba Wallace, finished. Near the bottom, right? He's down like a 39th, 40th, something around there.
Well, he got
three from the bottom.
He got in a wreck early in the race, but yeah, he did finish 38th.
Yeah.
He was, let's see, he was several laps down. Bubba was about 36 laps down. So he had a tough race. He was the one guy I think we were all pulling for. First cousins of Trey Wallace. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
First cousins. So, yeah, that was tough. But, I mean, the race finished with only, I think there were only, 14 drivers on the lead lap.
I didn't watch a single second of it.
I know. That's why I was telling you about it. Jimmy Johnson was ninth.
How did you feel about it as a NASCAR guy?
Joey Logano, fourth.
Was it a good race?
It was an okay race, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, I always watch the Daytona 500. Probably the last race I'll watch this year. Usually the first and last for me. I don't know. I might check in Bristol, Talladega, something like that. I think they go to Atlanta next week.
Any idea what the ratings were? Were the ratings good?
Probably not. I haven't looked at them, but I'm going to assume they were not good.
I haven't seen anything that made them sound really bad, and that's usually that's the worst time, right? Is whenever they're bad and people point to them and say, not good. Hey, all right. Up 8% from last year. Last year was a record low. But it's up 8%.
Okay.
So a little bit of a rebound for NASCAR. A little bit of a rebound. How about that?
If they would just get some drivers, if they could get some good face drivers, some good protagonists that you could root for. I think Bubba's one of those guys, but if they could get a few more that you really enjoyed watching, I think people could get into NASCAR again. There's just so many unlikable guys. The Joey Logano guy, Kyle Busch. I mean, both of those guys just have faces you want to punch. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think it's that. I mean, if you're just asking me, I would just say that it's not the lack of good guys. I would say it's just the lack of good personalities.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't mean like good guys. I just mean like people you actually care about.
Right.
Either in a good or bad way. Well, like, it seems like anybody who's been trying to be the villain role is just too over-the-top type of WWE performance where, you know, they're staging fights and doing all that. I'm not even saying you need that, because I think that turns more people off than actually gets people to watch the sport. But there's just no personalities. Everyone is so buttoned up, because the problem is you do represent all these companies. So you're not really afforded the opportunity to have a personality, because you can't go out on social media and be reckless, or you can't go out in interviews and say what's actually on your mind, because you're representing, you know, these big national sponsors who are giving you a lot of money and keeping the sport afloat. But I think that's a big part of it,
too. You used to be able to, though. The things have changed. I mean, the culture has changed.
Well, since when?
Well, I mean,
were drivers able to go out and do that?
Well, when NASCAR's ratings were high. I mean, Dale Earnhardt, even like a guy like Tony Stewart, when he came along. I mean, Tony Stewart was always a really passionate guy, and I mean, Home Depot stayed with him forever, you know. But he was kind of arrogant, kind of cocky. He was good at playing the heel. Jeff Gordon, he never really had a great personality, but you kind of loved to hate him.
Yeah, no, he didn't have to have a group, you know, he didn't have to be out there to be a villain. He was just really good, and you were watching because you had people you were rooting for. And it's easy. The easiest way to become a villain is just to win while people are rooting for other people. That's right. The easiest way to make people hate you. But
which is what Gordon did.
I mean, am I wrong, or is attendance not down?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's way down.
20-30% just all the way across the board.
It's way down. I think in the last few years,
so there's just less money there and less room for error for these drivers to lose sponsors or alienate companies. And we are in the culture where everyone gets offended.
I think in the last few years, you probably lost your three biggest stars: Earnhardt Jr., Gordon, and Stewart.
Also, the exhaust is bad for the environment, killing the ozone.
Can you clear your throat before you talk on the mic? Like, you come in,
I don't realize I have to clear my throat until I start talking.
Cut your mic off and just give yourself a little bit of a clear before you come on.
I usually.
I don't need you to go on and explain it. It was just a yes or no question. Can you clear your throat before you interject on the microphone? Because you have a lot of time to plan out what you're going to say and when you're going to come on. Just give yourself a instead of into the environment. That's all I'm asking. Just give yourself a little check run over there off the mic, where you can come in and be efficient with your drop-ins.
I still feel like I was pretty efficient.
So the answer is no, you can't clear your throat before you...
I mean, I can.
I thought we were having a...
I was about to just, you know, I was fine until literally I had to speak, and then I got a frog in my throat.
Just constantly stay clear, then. Just constantly just stay over there gargling. I will bring you salt water to gargle. We'll keep the phlegm down.
And actually, Ben, on that interjection, I mean, we were having a good conversation about NASCAR attendance and the ratings, and then you said it's bad for the environment. Come on.
Yeah, people don't like stuff that's bad for the environment these days.
How is NASCAR bad for the environment?
I mean, it might have been funny if he had cleared his throat first, but you really lost the effect whenever you stumble into it. That's all I'm saying. Just clear your throat.
I want to love NASCAR again.
I don't.
I do. I think Kyle Busch is the best star that they've got. But the problem is everybody hates him. So he's got great heel potential, but you need a hero. I think you need a hero. You need a guy with a good personality everybody can root for.
You had that in Dale Earnhardt Jr. and people still weren't watching.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. was never good enough. That's the thing. He's the most beloved driver ever, probably, but he was never good enough. He won like 20-something races his whole career.
Is anyone who's considered good in NASCAR?
Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson were both elite-level drivers.
No, I'm saying now. Who is good now? Is anybody even good?
Well, I think Joey Logano won the championship last year. Kyle Busch. So those two. Martin Truex Jr., I believe he was in the final four last year. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, your best drivers are not great anymore. You got all these young guys.
But are those guys good? Are those guys consistently in the top five, top 10?
They're consistently the top guys, yeah. I mean, Kevin Harvick's still around.
They need to bring back. The only way they'll get me to watch is if they make one of the best things in a video game ever come to life, and that was NASCAR 98. You could shoot the paintballs out of your car. They need to bring that back.
I think I played that. NASCAR Rumble, do you remember that?
No, this was just the real NASCAR. It's a cheat code. You hit L1 four times, R1 four times, L2 four times, R2 four times, then select. Then you got to shoot paintballs out of your car. Now, if you had the rules on with, like, you know, black flags and caution and all that, then you'd only get, like, one shot before they would, like, black flag you and disqualify you. But
hey, this guy's shooting paintballs out of his car.
Otherwise, you could just wreak havoc and win every time, and that was fun.
Throw a flag on him.
They should let somebody ride in the passenger seat and shoot paintballs. Let's try that out. Then maybe I would watch.
Do what you can to make it.
A paintball grenade? Can you imagine if you are driving and you're, you know, 15 laps left and then your co-rider gets out and throws a paintball grenade and it splashes all over the windshield?
Yeah, that would be great at like one of these mile and a half tracks where the driver just gets out to a huge lead and you just know he's going to win the whole time.
And a mile and a half, you would have enough time to send your sidekick out to have to clear off the windshield. He's got a spray can of water and a towel, and he has to climb out and, you know, wipe himself off. Or you could just do that in the pits.
Sterling,
it's basically
Marlin.
Like it forces you in the pits automatically. Yeah. Hey, you got hit with a paint grenade. Time to go into the pits.
Sterling Marlin got out of his car one time to fix his fender. That was at the Daytona 500, I believe, in 02.
In the middle of the race?
Yeah.
He has parked on the side?
Well, they were under a red flag. But
that's a little different.
He got out of his car, and you're not supposed to do that. I think Ward Burton went on to win that race.
The only thing better than talking NASCAR is talking NASCAR from 2002.
Well, that's when it was fun to talk about.
You got any more headlines?
The French fencing body is now recognizing lightsaber dueling as a sport. It's now easier than ever in France to act out Star Wars fantasies because its fencing federation has borrowed from a galaxy far, far away and officially recognized lightsaber dueling as a new competitive sport, granting the iconic weapon from George Lucas's saga the same status as the foil, epee, and sabre, the traditional blades used at the Olympics. I feel like I botched that. The foil, the epee, and the sabre, is that saber?
I'd imagine it was a saber. Saber. Like a lightsaber.
So, yeah, maybe so. It's spelled differently, but maybe so. So, French fencing is now, they're now using lightsabers as a real sport. How about that? I found that interesting. Guess you didn't. Tennessee.
I mean, I thought it was cool. I just don't know what else to say. Like, big win for the nerds out there who love Star Wars. Like, gotta.
Big win.
Huge.
Massive.
It is cool. I mean, it is cool that you can, and I said nerds lovingly, everyone. I've made my mistake of going at the Star Wars crowd before. I said it lovingly.
Like, you don't like them.
No.
That.
I love them. They like their thing. I like mine. We're two of the same type of people, just out here living, trying to be accepted.
You always say that you don't like them.
I don't like the show, or I don't like the movies. But I
or
love
the people. You say
no,
you
no,
don't
no.
Like
I love
the people. That's not what I've heard.
No. I love the people, but it is a cool time. Like, hey, if you're a kid, you can become a professional lightsaber battler, like whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And you become a professional video game player. If I was a kid, I would never go outside.
Yeah, I mean, why do you need to these days?
I would either be in my basement with my friend, sword fighting with lightsabers, or playing video games. And I would dare my mom to say something. Say something, Mom, because I'm training to be a professional. I have dreams. You see Ninja on TV making millions of dollars, hanging out at the Super Bowl. You see that? That's going to be me in 10 years. If you'll just get off my back, Mom, and let me play my game. I know they don't really shoot paintballs at NASCAR, Mom, but it's funner this way. That used to make them so mad.
Also, we're out of Mountain Dew.
Because they love NASCAR. They'd get so mad whenever I would just shoot the paintballs out. Because she'd want to come watch me. This isn't real racing, she'd say.
We're out of Mountain Dew, Ma. Get your ass to the grocery store.
Do you want me to be a professional or not, Mom? Because you're making it really tough. Do you think Ninja's mom didn't get him Mountain Dew when he asked?
What is this? The original. I wanted Code Red.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. If you drink Code Red, you're a real deviant.
Most nerdy kids, I think, prefer
Code
Red.
No. Absolutely not. You got any more headlines?
Yeah,
or?
I was going to give you one. Tennessee baseball swept Appalachian State.
3-0.
Not only that.
Or was it 3-0? Did we win three
games? It was 3-0. That's a sweep.
How did they get all three games in? Were they playing in Knoxville because it rained?
They were playing
weekend.
In Knoxville.
How did they play?
They were playing in baseball in Knoxville Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All 3 days they played. They shut them out. They shut them out all three games.
Hey.
First time that's ever happened.
Parker and Ben Lee were all over it. They said, hey, guys, the baseball team's returning all of their pitchers. Turns out, so far, so good.
They shut them out all three games.
You've said that like five times.
First time that's ever happened. First time.
That means that the other team did not score one run the entire series.
Tennessee baseball has yet to be scored on this season.
Do you know what the starting pitcher's ERAs are?
Zero.
Ah.
Zero.
You passed.
Like I don't know baseball. Come on.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Just coming across the board about 15 minutes ago, the SEC has named their Player of the Week. Any guess on to who it is? Cody McClure?
SEC Player of the Week?
Yeah.
P.J. Washington?
P.J. Washington. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem as funny to laugh about his campaign for SEC Player of the Year.
No, it doesn't. He's probably leading the way.
I'm not going to go that far. Yeah. I think Grant's still out in the lead. Grant statistically still had a solid game that's not going to kill his averages. He still had 16 points, 8 rebounds, shot 75% from the field, and what's 8 divided by 9? Like, what, 80%, 88% from 88% from the free throw line? So, like, his averages are still going to be fine coming out of that game, and it's just one game. So I'm not willing to say that P.J. Washington has passed him, but I do think he has entered the race.
I think he's closed the gap, and I think he's right there. If Kentucky wins in Knoxville, they'll give it to P.J. Washington.
Oh, yeah, if Kentucky wins in Knoxville and he has another big game and they go on to win the SEC, I'm not going to disagree there, but Tennessee is still a game ahead of Kentucky in the standings, although Washington, his last four games, has gone 20-23-20-23, so he is playing really well. I ran those numbers from what we were talking about at the end of Hour 1. You know, I said, like, you know, Bowden and Lamonte, the way they played against Kentucky and the way they played against Kansas. Well, here were their actual numbers when you combine those two performances. 8 from, hold on, let me say that again. 8 of 37 from the field. That is good for 21.6%. From three-point range, where Tennessee needs help, where Tennessee needs them to be good from, 2 for 23. That is 8.7%. It was actually a hair under 8.7%, but I went ahead and rounded up because 8.69% did not seem very nice there. 2 of 23 from three for those two guys in Tennessee's two losses. And you can look and say, yeah, defense matters more, sure. But it's hard to shut down good basketball teams. And Kentucky is a really good basketball team. Kentucky looked like a Final Four team. Kentucky looked like a national contender on Saturday night.
I mean, they're one of the four best teams in the country. Right now, I'd probably put them at number two.
They'd probably be ranked number two if they didn't just lose to LSU.
That's where I'd have them. Look at who they've beaten. I know they took that loss to LSU, but look at who they've beaten. I mean, they've been through a really tough schedule, and they've won all those games. against the good teams.
Who have they beaten?
Louisville, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kansas. Now, Kansas was down as a bookie when they beat them, but they've got some really nice wins. Good
Auburn
resume.
Auburn, although Auburn is just another game at this point, probably still consider. I mean, it's a quadrant one win, so I guess we shouldn't. I've had a hard time keeping up with the quadrant one and quadrant two since the RPI has been eliminated. I haven't wrapped my arms around the net rankings yet because, damn it, I'm still an RPI guy.
I am too. I remember last year was big on the quadrants. What are the quadrants again? What's the first quadrant? Top 50 win or something like that?
No, it's like top 75 on the road, top 50 at home. I don't know. I'll look into it. Like I said, I haven't wrapped my arms around what the net rating, how they judge.
Yeah.
But I mean, you talk about Kentucky, you have to look at them as a tier one team. On ESPN's power rankings, they are still at number 5.
That's low. They should be number 2 behind Duke right now.
I don't know if you can make them number 2. They still lost to LSU this week. And
yeah, but that's just a game where.
So you think Kentucky's better than Tennessee right now?
Right now, yeah.
You still think they like
it? Hard to say no right now.
Well, I mean, if Kentucky came to Knoxville to play on Saturday, you are picking Kentucky in that game?
I think we'll beat them in Knoxville. On a neutral floor right now, I'd take Kentucky.
Okay.
I think Kentucky's a little better right now. I mean, I hope that changes.
I mean, I think it's...
But, like if we're playing the SEC tournament right now and you ask me who's going to win it, I'm probably going to go with Kentucky.
Well, I think that's what the phenomenon of recency bias is built around, I think you're overweighing the last game you saw.
Maybe. I hope I am.
Because they did just lose at home to LSU.
They did. LSU's very good, too. We'll see what happens when we play on the road at LSU.
Yeah.
That's a huge game this week.
No, it's gigantic.
Ginormous. It's gigantic.
Tennessee has to win this game on Saturday. I guess they don't have to. They can still lose and still figure out a way to win the SEC or win the split. But Tennessee needs to win this game in Baton Rouge on Saturday. A noon tip-off, 11 a.m. local. Does that make things weird?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, it's a little weird that we're playing so early and it's such a big game.
Although I guess Tennessee might have to get used to that. They might have to play an early tournament game.
You might
be that 12-15. They still start at 12-15, right? That 12-15 tip.
It's weird that we play a game that early when that game will be for – I mean, that'll be for the top of the SEC standings.
Yeah, you would think that they should have some type of flex scheduling for the weekend, but whatever. It's at noon.
Oh, well.
It's a big game. Although Tennessee's got Vanderbilt on Tuesday. Vanderbilt's still winless in the SEC.
They're 0-12. Yeah, you can't afford to lose that one.
No, that would be a bad loss.
That'd be tough. That'd be real tough. Although they played us hard the first time. If we defeat Vanderbilt and then go to LSU, we'll get the extra day. So does LSU, do they have an extra day this week?
I believe they play on Wednesday.
Do you think that benefited Kentucky in any way?
No. No, not really.
Extra day of preparation?
No.
They seemed well prepared.
They did seem well prepared.
I mean,
I don't think the extra day of preparation was the difference in the game.
How do you feel about the officiating in the game? Saw a lot of people complaining about that.
Oh yeah, I talked about that in hour one too when you were listening to John Boy and Billy, but
in segment one, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
When you were listening to John Boy and Billy. But, I mean, I'm not going to blame the officiating for that game, obviously, but I do think I can point out that it was inconsistent. And inconsistency from officials is the worst thing that you can have. The first half, you had 9 total fouls. You had 6 in the first 4 minutes of the second half. You had 14 in the next 4 minutes. So, by the second TV timeout, there were already 14 fouls in the second half. And that's just the complete opposite of how they officiated the first half. So Tennessee got their ass whipped for most of the first half. You know, Grant Williams hit the deck about 5 times. And Tennessee probably went into the halftime locker room and said, hey, let's be more physical in the second half. And when they did, all of a sudden the refs were calling fouls.
I just hate seeing everyone blame the officiating after we get our ass kicked. Like a lot of people just weren't accepting that we just got beat down.
I don't know how many people were looking and saying that Tennessee lost because of the officials. But again, I think you can point out that the officials weren't good.
A lot of people on Twitter. You know, LSU's won 14 of their last 15 games.
Shout out to Will Wade, man.
Somehow they lost to Arkansas at home, and if not for that, they would probably have, I'm assuming that would be the nation's longest win streak, because it would be 15 in a row, and we no longer have it. So they got Florida Wednesday night. That's a really big game Saturday. All of a sudden, the Kentucky game that was so big 2 days ago becomes not as big as this LSU game.
Well, that's what happened when Kentucky lost to LSU, was the importance of Saturday greatly diminished when LSU beat Kentucky. We said that on Wednesday morning. All of a sudden, the biggest game was what happens when you go to Baton Rouge. I mean, good for Kentucky. They won. They stayed in it. And right now, in Joe Lunardi's latest... In Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, has he not updated since the 14th? What the hell are you doing, Lunardi?
He will update today, I think.
Well, I would hope so.
He usually takes his time.
It says the latest update was February 14th? What the hell are you doing? What's Jerry Palm? Does Jerry Palm have an update?
I believe Jerry Palm has an update. I think we're like the third one seed.
Well, I was wondering where he had Kentucky. Kentucky at 2 right now?
Jerry updated at 7:26 a.m. His one seeds are Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee,
and Virginia.
Virginia.
Virginia takes over in the South. Kentucky gets the 2 seed in the South, where Tennessee is set to be a 1 seed in Kansas City. Although at this point, hell, I'd rather have the 2 seed of Michigan. I'd rather have Michigan than Kentucky, but
and Kansas in there too.
As LSU had the tip in against Kentucky, you had to acknowledge that what happens in Baton Rouge this upcoming Saturday goes a long way to determining Tennessee's fate in the SEC standings and the SEC championship race.
Yeah, if we lose to LSU Saturday, I think you can pretty much say that LSU should win the regular season. The way their schedule works out.
LSU should at least get a split of it at that point. Because yeah. LSU only has one conference loss. That would hand Tennessee their second conference loss. And Tennessee still has a home game against Kentucky. And a trip to Ole Miss and a home game against Mississippi State and a trip to Auburn. So, like, at that point, you would think that LSU is guaranteed at least a split of it.
And any kind of tiebreaker.
I mean, they don't do tiebreakers, but they'd be the one seed, I guess. But
they don't do tiebreakers?
No, we won an SEC championship last year.
Oh, yeah, that's why we got
Auburn.
That. Yeah, that's – well, I mean, really.
Because the schedule. We complain about the football schedules being imbalanced, but, I mean – the basketball schedules, they haven't found a way to make those even either. And Tennessee benefited from that 100% during the 19-game win streak. Like, while other teams like Kentucky were playing tougher games, Tennessee was coasting against nobody. But LSU by far got the best shake of contenders when it came to SEC schedule.
I mean, we benefited from it last year by winning a share of the SEC title.
Well, I don't know who had the tougher schedule there. I mean, I know
I don't either, but I just
I know that we didn't have to. I know we didn't have to go to Auburn, but
if they did tiebreakers, I mean, Auburn would have won the SEC.
Well, yeah, I don't think. Maybe if they had the schedules the exact same, that they would then do tiebreakers. But yeah, I guess seems like a weird thing to be so hung up on.
I mean, if I was an Auburn fan last year, I would have been kind of offended that Tennessee got a share of the title. All I'm saying.
I mean, in Auburn's position last year, yeah, you should have been because you won in Knoxville. But if Tennessee and LSU split and the only loss in the matchup is Tennessee having to go to LSU, that wouldn't necessarily be fair either.
Why did they go away from doing tiebreakers?
Well, they got rid of the divisions, and we have 14 teams, and it's I don't know. I guess there's enough. I mean, we're not the only team that does it. We're not the only conference that doesn't do it. Like, the Big 12 doesn't. Like, Kansas hasn't won 13 outright Big 12 championships. They've split a couple of those.
I don't like splits.
In the ESPN Power Rankings, your top five is Duke, number one. They play North Carolina on Wednesday. That'll be a big game, obviously. Number two, Virginia. Number three, Tennessee. They write up Tennessee. Tennessee's 19-game winning streak came to an end Saturday night, dropping the Volunteers into a tie for the first place in the SEC, blah, blah. Their defense has been a mild concern all season, and it reared its head on Saturday. It was their worst defensive performance of the season, but also the sixth time in SEC play they've allowed an opponent to score at least 1 point per possession. Number four, Gonzaga. Number five, Kentucky. That's your top five. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Anything else catch your eye on this weekend? For me, it was built around Tennessee and Kentucky, which made it disappointing when Tennessee no-showed against Kentucky. Anything from the weekend catch your eye?
I thought yesterday was a pretty good sports day. All in all, I mean, after the depression wore off from Kentucky, a lot of big things happened yesterday. Lady Vols picked up a nice win at Missouri yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the Daytona 500 earlier. That was a lot of fun to watch. And last night, of course, the NBA All-Star Game.
Who were the Lady Vols playing?
Missouri on the road. They won.
Is Missouri good?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, they're okay. They were wearing all pink. So that was...
Well, shout out to the Lady Vols for a big dub. I saw where that moved them off the bubble. Tennessee's on the right side of the bubble right now, off of it and in the field.
When have they not made the tournament? Never.
Anything from NBA All-Star Weekend catch your eye?
I mean, the lack of defense, especially in the first half.
I mean, if you went to watch that All-Star game expecting some defense, although, like, that might be where... I mean, 80% maybe you just pointed something out. This may be where 80% of the NBA plays no defense takes originate from, is watching the All-Star game.
I mean, I wasn't expecting a lot, but a little bit occasionally. I mean, the guys were just throwing up shots. It was just a shooting contest is what it was. And it provided, I mean, it was exciting. It provided some excitement. Steph's pass that he had to Giannis in the first half, that was probably the key moment of the first half for me. You know, the big bounce pass where the ball went way up in the air and Giannis brought it down. I mean, that was impressive.
That was pretty cool. Although with Giannis, like, the dunk didn't seem impressive at all because he's just so long. Like, the dunk was, you know, the pass was what was cool.
Yeah, Steph's pass.
Yeah, the dunk was
but
nothing.
But I mean, the All-Star game, it's like watching the Globetrotters, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bunch.
That's the point.
I'm not saying it wasn't exciting. I mean, I enjoyed seeing how good the guys can shoot and all that. And like, yeah, these are NBA players. They're very talented.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch. I love the NBA. I didn't watch most of the All-Star game. I watched the fourth quarter. Realized that they only really play in the fourth quarter. I saw the beginning when Dirk hit his two threes, which was cool.
If you're not smart, you can't enjoy the All-Star game?
No. That's not what I said.
You said you were smart.
So I'm smart, and I realized that they only really play in the fourth quarter.
So you're dumb to watch the whole thing? I mean, is that
no, you're just not educated when it comes to how the All-Star game works. So that's how you end up here on the radio complaining about the lack of defense. The All-Star game on in the first three quarters.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. I just watched the whole thing. I'm sorry for actually watching the All-Star game. My bad.
No need to apologize.
I'm not.
You literally just said you were sorry.
It was, you know.
No, too late. You apologize.
It was like
apology accepted. Too late.
It was
I accepted
a smart-ass apology.
Too late. Already accepted the apology.
So what? So you watched wrestling all night? Is that what, I mean?
Nope. I watched True Detective and had wrestling fired up on the computer.
Hmm.
I watched wrestling.
Well, congrats on being smart for only watching the fourth quarter of the All-Star game.
Thank you. I didn't get to see any of Saturday night.
Saturday night.
You know, the three-point shootout, the dunk contest. I didn't see any of that. Yeah. I saw the highlights because, you know, the dunk contest, they'll put the highlights on the internet. But my guy John Collins, I came close to putting him on my losers of the weekend. I didn't because I respect John Collins too much, but he came out with the airplane prop trying to pay homage to the Wright brothers for some reason.
They were big in terms of flight.
And in North Carolina. Like, they were in Charlotte. So, like, he thought it out, but someone should have told him this isn't a good idea because it didn't play with the crowd, and no one
knew who they were.
No one really went wild for the homage to the Wright brothers. It wasn't like they were waiting and saying, "Oh, wow, you're paying respect to the legends." You'd have been better off, like, you know, Michael Jordan's from North Carolina. You'd have been better off doing something with that.
Not a lot of people care about the Wright brothers' accomplishments in today's age.
It's sad.
It's on their license plates.
It is. You're right.
They should respect it more.
What does it say on the license?
It just has like the outline of a plane, right?
It's got like a plane and it says first in flight.
That's right.
Yeah.
John Collins was trying to be first in flight. It didn't go well. And he wrapped himself up like in the... He had someone wrap himself up like in the air, you know, like the pilot, those old school pilots, like the leather jackets and the wrap around the mouth.
Goggles. Because,
yeah, the goggles.
That's what he was wearing?
I don't think he was wearing it. I think his prop was wearing it. Like, he had someone come out
on
holding
the plane?
He had someone coming holding like a big airplane. And
the
he jumped over
the
it.
Plane?
Yeah.
The prop on the plane?
The prop was the plane. Like, he used it as a prop and jumped over
so
it.
So there was a prop on the plane, which was the prop.
No, the prop was the plane.
I know. I was thinking of the prop on the plane, though. You know what I mean?
The propeller?
Yeah, on the front. It's like the prop was part of the prop on the...
Would you use prop to shorthand propeller?
I've heard the term prop plane.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that for propeller plane?
I'd say so.
As opposed to what?
Jet plane?
Engine. Twin engine. Twin engine plane. I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the more recycled conversations we have every year, right?
About planes?
No. The dunk contest.
Oh.
And how it's boring and how all the dunks are gone and blah, blah, blah. As we get really hype to highlights of Michael Jordan doing a basic-ass dunk from the free throw line that 90% of the NBA can do now. And we see Dominique Wilkins do a two-handed tomahawk that 90% of the NBA can do now.
That's why the dunk contest is just not as cool as it used to be.
Because everyone's so good at doing dunks now that, like, nothing stands
out. Yeah,
you've
got to, like, jump off a building to like, really be impressive, you know?
You got to have something really crazy.
Jump from the half-court line.
You got to have something really crazy. Let's do our winners and losers of the weekend next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Time to do our winners and losers of the weekend. It is Monday. You want to hit the music?
I don't have my list. I don't have my list ready yet. I was thinking we might push that back a bit.
You just sit there and you run around during the break and you just do whatever.
I had a lot going on during the break. It's hard to put a list together that quickly.
Yeah. I know. And maybe I didn't give you enough warning because, you know what, that's partly my fault because I didn't give you enough warning. I just gave you, you know, a week to get ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, we do it every Monday.
Yeah, all I did was give you a week to get ready for winners and losers, but that's okay. That's all right. Let's scramble. Ben Lee, you got a Preds report ready? Hi. Shout out to Ben Lee. Now clear your throat after you hit the music and come in strong. Here's your chance for redemption, Ben Lee. You're picking up Cody. You got his back. Let's go. Preds report. You can do it.
The Predators took on the Vegas Golden Knights over the weekend on Saturday. It did not go well. They lost 5-1. They're still second in the Central at 34-22-5.
5-1 to Vegas. Is Vegas good this year?
Vegas coming off.
I
mean,
I know it's not a Golden Knights report, but are they good? I know they were last year, obviously, but
Vegas coming off their Stanley Cup run last season.
Yeah, I know what they did last year. Are they good this year?
They are.
They are 32-24.
Vegas is third in the Pacific
32,
Division.
24 they're a playoff team. Four. Yes.
They're a playoff team. Okay. So the Preds went 1-0 over the, or 0-1 over the weekend.
The Preds went 0-1 over the weekend. It was not a good weekend for them. It did
Sounds
not go
like
well.
The weekend did not go well.
Sometimes it goes well for the Preds. Other times it
not
does
so
not.
Well.
It does not go well.
I don't understand NHL scheduling. What the hell do they do with the schedule?
I don't.
It's 82 games.
They played too many games, like the NBA and baseball.
Well, I mean, Nashville played on Saturday.
Yes.
They didn't play Sunday.
No.
They don't play tonight.
But?
Do they get 2 days off every time? Is that how that works? Like, is it?
For the most part.
Thought hockey guys were tough. They can't play back-to-back.
I mean, like, in the playoffs, it's every other night.
Can't do any back-to-backs?
In the playoffs, they're out there grinding every other night.
Every other night is not the same thing as grinding.
I can't wait to check back into the NHL in May.
Does the NBA go every night?
Mm-hmm. It goes back-to-back night. No.
Well, hockey's...
No, it doesn't. I mean, they do in the regular season. Sometimes you play back-to-back.
It's a little more physical game, hockey.
Yeah. Hockey definitely has the most tough guys.
I got a Monday motivation ready. If you need to be motivated, we can go to the hat. Which one do you want?
I'd rather go to the
hat.
Hat.
Man.
Hat. Hat.
Wow.
Hat.
Okay.
Hat.
Wow. I'm going to go to the hat. I'm really offended that you didn't want my Monday motivation.
Love Monday motivation.
Still a whole hour.
I like the hat better.
We have a whole hour, but we don't really have an hour. We have headlines. We have winners and losers and pump the brakes. So, like, we really don't have an hour. We really only have 15 more minutes in the show.
Perfect time for Monday motivation.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we got the whole hour planned.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
I mean, I can't do 15 minutes of motivation.
Hey,
whatever.
We can go to
the draw.
Again.
Parker's draw.
Okay, Parker.
Do I ever get a draw?
No, it's too far away.
I like drawing. I never get to draw. That's a long one. What is that?
Well, he has to hand it to me. Don't.
I can speak for Parker.
Yeah.
All right. Parker says, who would win in a fight, King Kong or a King Kong-sized Dwayne Johnson? Should have went with Monday motivation.
King Kong would win that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. King Kong's a gorilla. King Kong says Dwayne Johnson is just a big Dwayne Johnson. So it's The Rock, but it's just a big rock. Yeah, it's just like a big rock.
We're not taking, are we not giving credit to humans for being smarter?
Humans
than gorillas?
Intelligence only gets you so far when you're fighting a gorilla.
Humans aren't smarter than gorillas? What?
I doubt it.
Huh?
Not in terms
yeah,
of warfare.
Because we did evolve.
Have
into,
you seen War of the Planet of the Apes?
We did evolve to have the bigger, you know, the brain to make us be. So okay, yeah, I'll give you that. We're probably smarter than gorillas. Not much.
We are.
Is The Rock though? That's the question.
The Rock is smart.
Most
not
humans.
The Rock is a. He's not dumb. Why do we think The Rock's dumb? Because he's big and tough. Like, why do we think he's dumb?
Because he just says dumb things.
You better be careful. The Rock's going to be president, buddy.
His intellect is only going to get him so far. Fighting a gorilla, a massive gorilla like King Kong.
You think The Rock could be president? Would he run under the Democratic nomination?
He's more of a Republican. He usually goes to Republican conventions, so it'd be weird. I don't know.
If he ran as Democrat, he's one of the few that I think could have a chance. I mean, not to be political, but like the people that the Democratic Party's been putting out so far, I don't think any of them got a chance to win. But like if The Rock came out as a Democrat, maybe.
I mean, if Dwayne Johnson was as big and strong as a gorilla while being smarter than a gorilla,
he doesn't get the strength of King Kong, he just gets to be the size.
Fair. Okay, fair critique.
He's just a man. He's just a big man, and he's still going up against a gorilla. One man, no matter his size, can't beat a gorilla.
He can strategize for a while, you know, try to, you know, bob and weave a little bit, but after a minute, the gorilla's going to overtake him.
What about getting a weapon? Because humans were smart enough to learn how to use weapons. Are we taking this into account?
Have you watched King Kong?
Is he going to fasten a whole tree
into a spear? Yeah, don't the humans kill King Kong?
They capture him.
I don't remember the ending.
They capture him?
Well, he
They don't shoot him off the building? Does he not die at the end of
that? Well, that's how he gets to New York, is they capture him and bring him over, and then he escapes.
Right, but the ending of the movie is them killing King Kong, right?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen the end.
Spoiler alert.
Does King Kong die in the movie? I've never actually watched it either.
I don't remember.
How does King Kong end?
I know, like, he climbs on top of the building, and it didn't look like there was really any way out of it.
It's the Empire State Building, too. Or was it the Chrysler Building? Was it the Chrysler Building or the Empire State
Building?
I mean,
there's been many variations.
Yeah, apparently he just falls off the building and dies.
No.
So humans take him down and shoot him, and he falls and dies.
He really loved that woman.
It says the ape falls off the Empire State Building to his death after losing a battle with some fighter pilots.
She was the only one that could get to him. I mean, if he's on level ground, though, against the Rock, King Kong's winning.
I think without a weapon, although I don't know, have you seen the Rock Bottom? If he gave the gorilla a rock bottom and a people's elbow.
People's elbow is like the weakest finishing move ever.
I don't know, man. Let me elbow you right in the chest and see how it feels.
Then I'll give you a real finishing move. Pedigree. That's a finishing move.
Gates of hell.
Like a sharp elbow right to the chest would hurt.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of finishing moves, though, that's one of the more overrated.
I never considered that as finisher. The finisher was the rock bottom, damn it.
The people's elbows, like, come on. You're just going to let him stand up there and gloat over you for 5 minutes before
he... What is it called? Four-figure leg lock.
That hurts.
The what?
Figure four leg lock.
The four-figure leg lock? Is that what happened there?
Sorry, I don't know like all the wrestling finishing moves.
That one hurts, Ben. Have you ever been in one of those?
Yeah, it's not that bad.
That hurts.
No, the figure four hurts.
It'll rip your knee out.
The figure four actually does hurt if you have it put on you.
It does. It does.
Now, I think could you put it on someone? That's the real question, because there's a whole lot of spinning around where they can easily kick you or wiggle out. But if you get it locked in, you'll tap.
Now, another thing is,
if you don't believe it after the show, we can Periscope me putting you in a figure four leg lock.
Let's do it.
You allowing me to put you in a figure four and me snapping your leg.
It's going to basically just look like you guys are scissoring out in the lobby. Is the figure four leg lock not basically the sharpshooter? Well, it would have came first. But is the sharpshooter not basically like the figure four leg lock?
No, the sharpshooter puts pressure on your lower back.
It's really similar.
The figure four
though.
Puts pressure on your legs.
What about the walls of Jericho?
The walls of Jericho.
That's a whole different. That hurts.
That's more of like a sharpshooter than the figure four.
That'll break your back.
The figure four and the sharpshooter.
I've been in the walls of Jericho.
I'm disgusted that you're even thinking that that's near the same thing.
They're similar.
The figure four, you're laying on your back. The sharpshooter, you are standing over someone's back. They're on their stomach. It's not similar at all.
Okay, the sharpshooter and the walls of Jericho are similar. I forgot the sharpshooter. Sharpshooter, you got both legs up. Then you put one leg in, you cross them, and you turn around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, you're right. But what am I thinking? What did Chris Benoit do?
That's the Crip or Crossface, and we don't talk about Chris Benoit because he killed his entire family.
I'm just trying to think of some submission moves.
Unless you believe the conspiracy. There's a whole conspiracy out there about Chris Benoit. He wasn't the one that actually did it. Although I don't subscribe to that one.
Who was
he? He did it. You'll have to get someone else to explain it. I never really looked into it.
There's something similar.
It was basically just built around Chris Benoit's friend saying that he talked to him earlier that day and that he seemed completely fine and that he, you know, couldn't have done it. There's one out there.
Seems weak.
The Crip or Crossface is not like the Sharp.
No, I know. Either, I know.
Or the Figure Four.
No, because that's like with the arm between the legs and the hands on the face.
Yeah.
But there's something. I can't wait
to put Ben Lee in a figure four.
What is similar to the figure four?
I really don't think the figure four is that bad.
You're going to tap.
No, it hurts.
I'm not going to tap.
It'll hurt your knee.
You're going to tap or I'm going to snap your leg. One of the two. You decide.
Yeah, you'll tap. You're
either going to
absolutely tap.
Or you're going to lose your leg. You pick, tough guy.
Basically,
you sound just like my little nephew Owen on Thanksgiving or Christmas, whenever he was saying I couldn't make him tap, and I was about to choke the life out of him on the floor until he tapped.
Well, I ain't tapping.
We better get Nate to sign some waivers then, because I'm snapping the leg. Okay, hour two in the books, hour three on deck.